Good day and welcome, Philadelphia and beyond, WFYL. I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom and Tom Donahue Reports. I want to thank our good friends at Red State Talk Radio and Talk Stream Live Worldwide. There's a lot I want to get to, and I'm going to harken back to yesterday's program and something that we hadn't really gotten to in its entirety. And I think it's relevant. I think it's really important. And I also want to remind you that my role is a talk show host. I see myself as a town crier. I see myself as an educator, a motivator, you know, a truth teller. And so I really don't care what other programs are doing. And I really don't care to cover every single thing in the news because I'm not a news anchor. The big guy in South Florida says that he's America's news anchor, okay? I could care less about being a news anchor. And I don't really feel compelled to cover every issue from every angle. I'm going to pick the ones that I think are the most relevant to the theme of this program, to the mission and the vision of this program. So when you go, well, he's not talking about the Egyptian airliner, or he's not talking about, yeah, maybe I'm just not. And I touched on that yesterday. Okay, this article is, did the Libertarian Party just stumble upon a viable Stop Trump ticket? Now, this is a very high-profile pairing for the Libertarian Party. Libertarian Party started around 1970, I believe. I don't. It was give or take. It was founded as a party that, well, embraced liberty, and also was not. It was. I guess you could say it was ideological, but it wasn't ideological, in the sense that you could be whomever, and almost think however, and be a part of this party. But the major tenets were that it was all about pro-growth, pro-liberty, personal freedoms, and that's where the snag comes in for a lot of folks. Even though Ron Paul ran as the Libertarian candidate for president in 1988, he was deeply and staunchly and remained so pro-life. Based on statistics I had seen back in the day, it talked about a breakdown, and they said about 25% of the Libertarian Party in general was pro-life. 75% was that the government had no right to dictate, to interfere with a woman's right to choose or any freedoms as it relates to what you decide to ingest and what you decide to consume and whatever lifestyle or recreational activity. And so personal freedoms are real important to many libertarians. I'm libertarian-leaning, but I'm also a social conservative. And I'm non-apologetic about that. And also, there was another defect, if you will, in the plank and the platforms of the Libertarian Party. And I don't know how they feel about it now, but they were at one time open borders, that the governments of the world should not in any way obstruct the flow of people coming and going based on the search for their liberty or freedom or profession, or just personal choice. And so with personal choice comes personal responsibility. That's another thing. And we're supposed to be a self-governing nation. But there are certain aspects to what the framers and the founders felt about this country was that there had to be a moral compass that had to be grounded in one's faith. It didn't mean it had to be a particular religious sect or order, but it was the fact that, yes, you have religious liberty, but you had to be a moral people. And if you don't have a moral compass and you don't have a faith and you're not grounded in spirituality, for the most part, it's very difficult for an individual to self-govern. It's very difficult for an individual to make a choice that's not just in their own personal selfish self-interest. You know, I don't go by a script. Now, if I'm referring to an article, I will look at the article. But some of this is off the cuff, extemporaneous, just in the flow consciousness, okay? But it does come from many years of experience, many years of research. And so I just don't say something unless I really mean it. So you have actually two former high-level government officials, Republicans, that are the ticket for the Libertarian Party. And one is the former governor from New Mexico, Gary Johnson, who is now a two-timer. He's running, I don't know, maybe it could have been three times? I know at least, I know he ran the last election cycle. It may have even been 2008. I just don't recall. So he is very experienced at running a national campaign. Granted, generally libertarians across the board in all 50 states garner about 1% of the vote. That is, if they're being counted correctly, and there has been some disputes as it relates to that. And then in some states, could be their home state, could be states that are more libertarian-leaning, they do sometimes pick up 2, 3, almost 4% of the vote. Could that be enough in certain states to swing it to the left or the right, the Democrats or the Republicans, the GOP and the DNC? It is very possible. Gary Johnson is going to team up with Bill Weld. He was a former Republican governor of Massachusetts. He also, I believe, was a United States senator. If not, he was a congressman. I do know he served in Congress, either in the House or in the Senate. But his last position was he was a governor of Massachusetts. Now, he is considered to be very moderate. Gary Johnson is considered to be kind of progressive because, I mean, his big deal, even as governor of New Mexico, was medical marijuana and decriminalization and I think even legalization of marijuana. So you have these two former governors. You have these one that actually served on the Hill, and they are pairing up. Now, generally what you get is you may get one that held significant elective office. And sometimes you get zero. I mean, sometimes there's not a presidential or vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. They're just people that have, they're on a mission. They're ideological. Usually the Libertarian Party national conferences where they do the selection process, it's usually pretty raucous, and there's a lot of fringe candidates, if you will. And some people might say, well, the Libertarian Party is fringe. Well, no, it's not. It is the longest standing independent third party that we have in the United States. I mean, if we just go by the date of 1970, which is within, you know, I think it is actually 70, but it's within that range. I mean, you're looking at, let's see, 46 years. So let's just say somewhere between, you know, at least 45 years this party's been operating, it's been in existence. Most of the election cycles, they have garnered ballot access in all 50 states. And they also have a slate of candidates that run for governor, that run for local, state, and national office. And so, and there's been many that have garnered a pretty good percentage of the vote. And there's been several libertarians that have actually won, although many of them are not in high-profile governmental offices. So this would be very interesting if we found that Mitt Romney, kind of the leader of the opposition to Trump, and someone who went begging on his hands and knees, and see, you can say hands and knees in a begging situation. It doesn't have to be sexualized, and I don't know why they assume that that's what Donald Trump meant, and that statement keeps coming back to haunt him. And I think I even saw that episode of The Apprentice or Celebrity Apprentice, and I didn't take it that way. I never thought he meant anything sexualized. But then again, that's our demented and diabolical press. I mean, really, we're dealing with just real sick minds that are part of the, you know, our national media, in print journalism. And certainly in cinema, television, and the celebrity reality-based culture of our media. It's not going to take a lot to sway an election. Important messages. Hold tight, Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom. Welcome back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom on WFYL Radio. And also want to thank Red State Talk Radio and Talk Stream Live. We're getting a lot of good feedback, and we appreciate that. Let me go back to the downside of the Libertarian Party, in my view. And again, I can only speak for myself. And I'm not here to manipulate your minds. I'm not here to control. I'm not here in any way to dictate. I'm here to share what I know, what I think, what I feel, hopefully through your powers of decision-making and discernment, you'll come to the right conclusions. So the Libertarian Party, in my view, the reason that I can't wholeheartedly say I'm a libertarian is because of my social conservatism, number one. Number two is I'm not for just unabashed or unfettered free markets. Just as Donald Trump talks about, you know, smart trade, and many, including Pat Buchanan, have talked about fair trade. I'm a fair trader. And I like the idea of making it a smart trade also, you know, so that we benefit. And why would you enter into any agreement that you're at a disadvantage? That's because the internationalists, the globalists, they see themselves as world citizens. And so they profit, whether it's through the agreements, the raping and the pillaging of the United States of America, or it's a slave labor in Indonesia or in China or in Mongolia, you know, wherever. You know, that's the way they roll. It's all about profitability, and it's all about, you know, expanded markets. It's all about them becoming even a greater wealth hoarder. And that's right, they hoard their wealth. You know, there's less than 0.1%. Again, money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's the greed. It's the fact that it controls you. It dominates you. It's your primary motivating factor, if not the only motivating factor. The libertarians, where I take issue primarily with most libertarians and the platform in general, the ideology, if you will, is the fact that they're free traders and that they're not concerned about fair trade. They are open borders, for the most part. They certainly wouldn't favor a wall. They wouldn't favor boundaries and secure borders. And then in social areas, many would feel it's okay to legalize all drugs. And so the drug issue is appealing to the youth and the drug culture. And I'm for decriminalization of marijuana, no question. And I don't have a problem with medical marijuana. But it's not a signature issue for me. The other thing is that I'm pro-life, with a few exceptions, and I've talked about that, and I know some people can say, how could you even be for those exceptions? Well, I'm not going to make this program about this particular issue. There's many, many spiritual, religious, Christian, and otherwise programs that focus a lot of time and attention on this, but I'm unapologetically pro-life, and that's where I stand. So it was really ironic. And I knew Ron Paul back in the day, and I helped sponsor his speeches in Dallas, Texas, as he ran as a candidate. And I know that Ron, and I agree on probably 80-90% of the issues. He was, even back then, he was not a charismatic speaker. You know, he wasn't the most exciting candidate. Ron Paul has never wavered on the issues. Ron Paul's the same as he was in the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. And he had a tremendous amount of character, and I have a lot of respect for Ron Paul. But there are some areas I took great umbrage and took issue with, and I voiced those through the airwaves, and I'll continue doing that with all candidates and all those that are in the public sector or the public limelight, because they need to be drawn out, and we need to be able to debate and have civil discourse, but still be able to dialogue about these issues. So that is some of my thinking here. But I think that the hatred and the venom and the vile that's coming from Romney and coming from Never Trump, Stop Trump at All Cost, is just absurd. I mean, see, they have personalized this so much. If you notice Donald Trump, he can be friendly again with someone that he was in, they were in like hand-to-hand combat nearly in the debates and during their campaigns. And he's willing to work with some of these folks. And I don't know if he's willing to forgive them, but I think he's at least willing to make amends and try to work together and see what they can accomplish. But I don't think that the Bushes, and I don't think that Romney, and there's some others, can get over the fact that they got so embarrassed. Yeah, they got their backsides whooped, you know. And some people, you know, they see themselves as very courageous and strong, and they're the dominant force. You know, they're the alpha male. Now they have their tail between their legs, and they look like wusses, and they got thoroughly spanked. They have been not only scorned but repudiated, and they're non-factors in this party. I mean, you would think that Romney, because being running for the presidency two terms in a row, and you know his father being very prominent, he being a governor, and Romney, he kind of saw himself as an elder statesman, and the Bushes, of course, and that they would play a prominent role in all conventions and platforms and the selection of the nominees. And they're realizing that they're the outsiders looking in, that their party has been taken over. And guess what? It's not just taken over by Donald Trump. It's a movement. It's been taken over by the people. It's we, the people. Why can't these jackrabbits understand that? Why can't they understand that it is about we, the people, not we, the sheeple, and not about we, the politricksters? So I'm going to continue getting stronger and coming out harder against these forces that are really the enemies of we, the people. So back to the article at hand. And some say, well, I'm used to listening to a show that spoon-feeds me the articles. They read verbatim, and they play sound clips so I can listen. Well, hee-hee, ha-ha, wonderful. Okay, I'm not your babysitter, and I'm not going to do that. All right? I mean, some people, they really think that they're going to just sit here for whatever time that show is on, and then the next show. And it's almost like a blood transfusion. You know, here it's a brain transfusion, that they're just going to have all these info links, you know, connected to the cranium, and all this knowledge and all this information and all these opinions are going to just get infused into the lobes of the brain, you know. And sorry, but I'm not here to do that. I'm here to stimulate thought. I'm here to give you electroshock, if you will. And not as in shock jock, but just to, you know, to wake you up out of your political coma. Because many people, they're walking around like zombies, like The Walking Dead. But they're, isn't that funny, speaking of that there's people that actually believe there's real zombies. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's insane. I wouldn't doubt the New World Order, because I think New World Order, this globalist, secretive, you know, kind of shadow government. I think it's demonic? I do. And people go, well, can't you say that without saying demon? I'm not sure I believe in demons. I'm not so sure I believe in hell. Well, you know, I hear these people, and not recently, but they'll like, we just want to like get you to like conform to and not bring up certain things, and I'll feel more comfortable with your program. Well, you know, I'll give you the exit carpet, you know, and on the way out, you know, please close the door, because I don't want the door to hit you, because you're probably too feeble to handle the door hitting you and the tailbone. Okay, I just am amazed where people want to dictate how you present a message. They want to dictate that, well, if they don't believe that there's an afterlife or there is a punishing life, that will be all held accountable, or that there is actually demons, that there's actually angels, you know, it's okay to not believe what I'm sharing with you. But it's also okay to say, you know what, he has a right to express that. That part I might just put on the shelf, I might put aside, because I'm not so sure I see it that way. But that's what the whole point of talk radio is that either that person has been hired or has earned that spot or has helped to produce that spot. When the Fox News poll was released a little earlier in the week, it did not factor in his vice presidential pick. But Gary Johnson, based on the high negatives, at least the media's reporting of high negatives for Trump and Clinton, but I think more so for Clinton, but we'll see, and I think my words will bear out over time, is that he's polling at about 10%. So he's got a 10% part of name recognition, part of it because people want to oppose both nominees, or at least the apparent nominees, presumptive nominees, if you will. This is kind of interesting, because if it comes to the debates, And let's just say the Never Trump and Stop Trump movements get behind this libertarian ticket, even though they would do it in such a way that they got behind Ted Cruz begrudgingly. Just to do anything to Never Trump, Stop Trump, derail Trump at all costs. Yeah, just commit party suicide and try to hand over the election to Hillary Clinton, and then wait another 4 to 8 years and maybe come back with some other bogus, fraudulent candidate. And I say bogus and fraudulent because most of the jokers that they continue to bring up are not the people's picks. It's not coming from we the people. So it's very difficult to meet a national threshold of 15% in popularity. So if the polling data does not show that Gary Johnson is polling at 15% or higher in terms of popularity, he will not make it to the debate stage. So the only thing that I could say, the positives that could potentially come from this, is that Romney and the Never Stop, Stop Trump, Never Trump, Derail Trump at all costs could do is that people can point to the fact that Mitt Romney favored many congressmen, senators, people prominent within the established Republican Party and political class have said that it's time for a third party. It's time for independent parties. It's time for them to have more fair ballot access. It's time to have greater representation of our political views in the political domain. So I think it's great. I think it would be wonderful that if that positive came out of it, it could benefit us down the road rather than being part of two controlled corporate established special interest parties. More to come. Hold tight. Right back.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Reports, Philly Freedom, WFYL Radio, serving the greater Philadelphia area and beyond, Red State Talk Radio, our digital partners, and Talk Stream Live Worldwide. I decided to go to the Drudge Report, and I'm going to go down some of the major stories. Many of these major stories will appear at Talk Stream Live in our headlines, but I'm looking at a world-class fool, and you say, well, who's the world-class fool? Well, he's a clown, a crybaby, a goofball with the goggles. He thinks he's the oracle and the revelator of the Book of Moroni, the Book of Mormon, the Book of Morons, whatever you want to call it, but it's Glenn Beck. Oh, the headline is of this article, Beck of Revelation, Facebook, the most important system of my lifetime. Let me just get something really clear here. This is the guy that said that it was ordained by God that Ted Cruz would be the nominee and he would be the nominee, but he would be the next president of the United States. Okay, here's the guy who was giving out teddy bears at the border. Remember that? Because it was an act of compassion. Remember he feigned he was going blind, and he wears multiple different stylish glasses now. He's not going blind. And then he's had just one alleged illness after another, he's just ridiculous. But he's so inconsistent. And let me just tell you something. If you really believe this country is on the brink, that's on the verge of collapse or moral decay or just implosion. Would you sit around with a bunch of frat brothers, you know, having a goofball time? And that's what the clown, the crybaby, the goofball does, is he has these you know, young morons. You know, it's like Kitty City. It's like a morning show. Well, then it did come from, well, I mean, his background is a DJ, and he was doing a morning show. You can Google this, and let me just tell you, if you Google Glenn Beck and the chimp, matter of fact, it was the chimp that was, my understanding, from my recollection, was that it was Michael Jackson's chimp that was running around the studio with Glenn Beck years ago in Phoenix, Arizona. This guy is a sham. He's a huckster. He's a fraud. Now, is he a successful media entrepreneur, even mogul to some extent? Yes. Well, they just laid off 40 people, though. And did he start his TV career at CNN? Remember that? It was like the headline news channel. It was the second tier channel at CNN. And then Fox gave him a big break, and then. I think the worst thing is the crybaby tears, you know, the fake tears. He's got this evangelical air about him and delivery and presentation. But this guy, he's unstable, he's unhinged, he's just ridiculous. But who has time to listen to somebody with his little frat brothers, you know, just goofing around? And he, like others, I heard him the other day use the word peed off. Okay, so if you're a family-oriented show, and if you are trying to be a role model and set a different tone and tenor for the country, I just think that you can be a lot more careful. Now, let's just say a word slipped through. And again, it doesn't have to be just the seven worst words. It can be, you know, just language that's crass, language that is like borderline. Words that maybe the media monitors are accepting and the culture's accepting, but I just think it's inappropriate and uncalled for, but that's just my point of view. So back to Facebook and this point of points. I think Facebook's a terrible thing. Now, I do use it for postings for TalkStream Live because it allows us to, you know, you can just drop in a link and it populates and people can find out what's going on in the media that they may not be looking for these kinds of stories. But I personally, I have very few followers on Facebook. I think I've been posting my podcast to this program, and I really don't communicate with my family or friends through Facebook. Matter of fact, if I get a message, I say, just write to me through my email. You know, I don't post family pictures. I don't post, pictures on traveling or my cats or whatever. Or, you know, what I'm eating for dinner. I just think, and again, I'm not faulting people, but there's a lot, they're sharing way too much stuff. And now employers and the government are using that, and they're collecting that data. And so they know, so they can profile you. They know exactly what's going on with you. And I know there's GPS and they can locate you and all that. So it's, unless you want to have a bunker mentality, the government knows who you are and where you're at. So there's no getting around that for 99% of the population has to, you know, work and be involved in, you know, in society in general. Some people can live off the grid. So Beck is thinking, and Facebook's the most important system of my lifetime? I think podcast is even more important than that. I think that there's so many things. Streaming is more important than that. I think cable television is more important than that. I think, and you can go on and on. I mean, there's just so many different discoveries. I mean, the smartphone, the iPad, you know, the Android, you know, all these things are magnificent if they're used properly. I mean, if you and I've been able to incorporate the technology into my life for the good, so I can applaud technology, but there's also the dangers. You know, we've lost our sense of privacy. Most people don't even know how to write a real letter. You know, it's really corrupted the language, and everything is in these little blips. You know, it's almost like little sound clips, if you will. You know, these abbreviations and acronyms and all those kind of things. So No, Facebook, I think ranks very low. Matter of fact, I will put Twitter over Facebook. Because most people that use Twitter, most, not all, but they're actually societally and politically aware, and they're activated, they're involved, and they want to become even more aware and more involved. So I like Twitter to some degree, but I deplore and despise Facebook. Quite frankly, I could do without it 100%. But people say, you got to use Facebook as part of your show. No, I don't. You have the right to disagree, of course. Again, I don't want to mold you. This is not a media molding show. You know, this program has a lot more to do with just trying to influence, just, you know, and not necessarily trying to persuade, although there's nothing wrong with the art of persuasion if it's not done in a very manipulating and molding way. So that's how we try to do things here. Now, there's another issue beyond the clown, the crybaby, the goofball with the goggles, you know, the Mormon mesmerizing messiah. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Beck. Get off the stage. We're tired of hearing from you. Okay, now, this is a tremendous endorsement. Donald Trump just got the endorsement from the NRA. Now, I like Gun Owners of America and Larry Pratt. I think that's a great group. And there's others. But in order to have an organization like that with the amount of members and you want to talk about lobbying influence, that's a great endorsement. So there you go, Donald. I mean, this guy who has had no political experience, the deck was stacked against him. The only thing you could say that was in favor of him were two things. Two things that you could say he had a little bit of an advantage here. One was name recognition, but that can work against you. So he had high positives and high negatives. So he had that celebrity, you know, people, almost everybody knew something about Donald Trump, the good, bad, or the indifferent. So most of you had an opinion about him. And the other thing was that at any time he could either loan his campaign or he could spend his own money. And so he had that. But they're about the only two things you could say could have been looked at upon as advantages, because he's not the greatest debater. And of course, we know that he not only counterpunches, but he punches, and that, you know, he has these feuds and you know, I mean, so in terms of personality or temperament, it hasn't really hurt him all that much. I mean, it's amazing to me. He's like the Teflon Don. You know, not much sticks. You know, the people that support him, the people that are looking for this fresh and bold and brazen change, there's not much he could say or do that would change their mind. Unless he completely were to reverse himself. I mean, not just tweak things, not just maybe slightly modify, but if he went through a radical transition or metamorphosis as it relates to his program, his platform, his mission, his vision, then, of course, they would leave him. Those that are thinking people. Some people are loyal no matter what. And I'm loyal as like saying, oh, you should stay in this marriage even though you're being brutally beaten, that you're being mentally and physically abused, that you've been cheated on, that there is, rampant infidelity. No, you don't just stay with someone and allow for that kind of abuse. Or and when it comes to the political realm, the candidate has to be authentic. You have to believe that they believe that they're going to do the things that they have promised. So there's a bond. There's a sacred bond. There's a I think there's a two-way street here, and I think that there is expectations, and the Donald, you know, Trump has got to not only honor his campaign pledges, but he also has to be trustworthy, has to be reputable, has to be authentic, and that's what people are looking for. So, and I think that they really feel strongly that he is the real deal. More to come, right back. Hold tight.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue reports on WFYL Radio, as well as Red State Talk Radio on the digital side, and of course, our friends at TalkStream Live Worldwide. I was just thinking about the talkers. Now, those of you that, you probably have heard that term bantied around because it's, they use the moniker or the catchphrase or the caption that they're the Bible of talk radio. Well, this magazine, which is now more digital, but they still publish a magazine, really is like the industry standard. It represents the talk show host. You know, it's more talk show host centric, just like TalkStream Live. And I can tell you from experience, it's host centric as opposed to station centric when you're searching out programs and you want the content. And so they had a live stream. So in between various things I was doing today, I was catching portions of that. I may go back to that, and they have panel discussions. And Freedom of Speech Award went to Mark Levin. He revealed some very interesting things I may share with you at another time. I did want to say that the medium is the message. Content is the king. I also think, and I believe this to be the case, that just like anything else, Madison Avenue and selling a product and a service or the marketing wing or the advertising branding wing, that it's presentation that really plays a role. Packaging plays a role. So for me, I think it's more personality driven. Yes, content is king. You could have great content, but if it's not presented and delivered well, it falls flat. And there's more competition now, if you want to see it that way. I've always seen that the only competition that I have in life is me, myself, and I. You know, I don't really compete, at least with my perspective, I don't compete with the other personalities, with the other producers of broadcast content. And so I just have to compete with myself. And there are days I feel like I haven't competed well with my past self. And there's days I feel like I've actually done pretty good and on par. And there's other days I feel like I've exceeded expectation and I've actually rose to the occasion. So that's going on. You may hear various hosts talking about their experience there, or maybe they viewed it. Maybe they received an award. Maybe they're on a panel discussion. So that's in the news, Talkers Magazine. And it took place this year. Hofstra University, their college station was ranked the number one college radio station in America, and their school has really come up in the rankings and has really become very well known. It's not just Northwestern, it's not just Syracuse, it's not just Rutgers, it's not just USC. It really now Hofstra University on Long Island. So that was kind of cool. It's normally at the Pennsylvania Hotel in downtown Manhattan. So it'd be interesting to get the reports back as to how they like the venue. But yeah, they're talking about everything, podcasting, digital. There's still this controversy in talk radio as to where does digital fit in? Where does streaming fit in? Where does podcasting fit in? How do you monetize? How do you integrate? How do you incorporate the social media? So all those things are being discussed. And I'll probably have a more detailed report in the coming days on that. Now, let me just see some of the other headlines. You know, I did reference the fact that, made note of the fact that Donald Trump has been endorsed by the NRA. But these morning shows, I don't listen to them. I have no time for them. And I think that's what Beck is hearkening back to, you know, with his romper room, you know, raunchy, rowdy, you know, ridiculously immature bunch of hooligans that partake in his program on a daily basis. You know, I just think it's ridiculous. I have been a host of mine that I think that not always, but in many cases, when a host has a co-host, when a host has a team that surrounds them, and I'm not talking a five-hour show in the morning, and the expectation is that the weather girl's talking, and the and your producer's talking, and you know you got 5 hours to fill. But if you're doing a what I call a traditional, a more recognizable talk show, which is could be 1, 2, or 3 hours. Occasionally, some of the local guys might extend it beyond that because it's drive time or whatever, and they're stretching it. But the format is not one that I think hosts many times undersell the value of their own personality, their own assets, and the way that they interact and share and teach and opine on subjects. You look at the strongest programs and the strongest hosts, and it's usually that particular person and personality. Now, you might hear a little banter back and forth, and I do believe that there are good co-hosted shows, and I think that's a good idea. But if someone is just a sidekick that really, they don't really care about the issues, they really don't know the issues, they really don't have the voice, the personality, the talent, the knowledge, I think that they should be non-contributors. Yeah, I think that you want to call in, you could, but why are you that ill-prepared, or are you that lacking in confidence that you have to include that person? And also, if your show is a popular show, why not rely on your callers? Well, that's something unique, huh? You already have a bank of interesting, intelligent contributors, and so you don't need the person that's operating the board behind you. You know, their opinion, in my view, it really doesn't matter. It matters maybe on a personal level, but on a professional level, I would keep it to a minimum. But then again, these are just my points of view, and that's the way I see the world, and I share that. But some people say, well, what if that offends somebody? I'm really concerned about that. Now, if I personally offend someone for no apparent or legitimate reason, absolutely, I apologize. I'm not like Donald Trump that way. I will just come out and say, You're exactly right. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'll work on that. I'll give it my best effort or pray about it to not do it again. And I think that is a defect with Donald Trump, that there's nothing wrong with a human being admitting that they made a mistake, they misspoke. And if someone personally is offended by something that maybe they didn't deserve, just simply apologize. It's not a big deal. But no, I'm not worried about when I take the microphone. I don't ever say to myself, oh, I better dance around this. I better tread softly or lightly. I don't, because I never have to worry because my language is clean. So other hosts have to worry about that. In terms of content, I know what I believe. I know what I think. I know what I've experienced. I know what I feel, and I'm confident in expressing that. So yeah, I wouldn't have a problem if I felt like having a contributor or a co-host from time to time. But my whole career has been based on my own individuality and creating my own unique product, not having to rely on. Now, I'll give you another one. And some of you might say, well, you talk too much about talk radio. I can tell you that any time that I got that criticism, I would receive equal, if not more, letters, meaning, well, actually emails. But back in the day, I might have gotten the letters, physical letters. And they would say, we love the inside stuff. That's why we listen, is because we really enjoy and we really appreciate and we really want to know more about talk radio. So now I think it's boring to see cameras in a studio. I think it's like watching paint dry. But, you know, some people think that's great and exciting. But I do really think that people want to know what makes those hosts tick, the popular shows, those that are the opinion leaders, those that are driving the agenda of especially conservative political talk. And so that's that. Now, Boxer feared for her life at the Democratic gathering. Well, you know, I think it's great that the burn is on, and that the Bernie Sanders followers are so radicalized and really raising ruckus. You know, I think it's fantastic. Now, the sad thing, though, is there going to come a time where these folks, that's right, these folks, they are also going to, they're going to be a part of this whole Trumpomania. Oh, here's another one. Secret Service shoots armed suspect near White House. Suspect down in critical condition. I just don't know what's happening in the world. Everything just seems to be, just ready to implode. It really feels that way, doesn't it? We got angry mobs surrounding supporters of Trump in New Jersey. Oh, here was another interesting article just hit the Drudge Report as it relates to Beck. It says, acted like he was auditioning to be Zuck's manservant. I think people are finally catching on. This clown, this crybaby, this goofball. The gig is up. Nobody really believes in you. No one really trusts you. Remember when he was really riding high with the 9/12 events and he was on Fox and sometimes he would do good work, and then he just looked like he lost his mind, and then he would just flip on things. And then, I don't know, he's just a strange dude. He really is. Here's Limbaugh. I'm not sure it's David or Rush, but it says Facebook, where liberalism is always trending. And he calls it fake book. Yeah, fake book. Yeah, there is controversy, the liberal progressives, which Zuckerberg is, have they been stifling? Have they been suppressing the popularity and the visibility of conservatives as they want to do their political postings? And I think that based on what I've read so far, that there is evidence of that. Apparently, as long as I see a similarity between Beck and Palin in the sense that they're publicity whores or publicity hounds. Just give them, if they can just get more mic time, more air time, more FaceTime. Yeah, FaceTime. They just, that's so important to them. And for me, I remember friends and family of mine were saying to me, well, what if this comeback of yours in the last few years, what if it did amount to something larger? And you were offered an opportunity by one of these reality-based, e-channels or whatever channels to document even short-term your life. I said, absolutely, positively not going to happen. I would not allow for it to happen. I wouldn't want to be grossly misrepresented. I wouldn't want to be grossly intruded upon. I couldn't be bought, so there would not be any amount of money that I would do it for. And these people, all they want to do is their whole identity, their whole ego is wrapped up in this publicity, in this media. And there's so many different forms of media now. And we're going to keep talking about the media because, as Marshall McLuhan once said, the medium is the message. We've got these messengers, and we have the messaging, and all this does matter. Speaking of that, I think it's probably time for us to roll. Yep, it's high time. Take care. Have a great night, and Godspeed. Until we meet again, I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom, Tom Donahue Reports, and the Spirit of Liberty.